we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
The less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, June the 15th, 2018. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by my co-host, Sinead Sanders.
Hello.
And Carol McIntosh.
Hello.
Welcome, everyone. Well, rodeo season is upon us again, and on today's show, we'll be putting a spotlight again on these cruel rodeo events that cause distress, suffering, and even death to the animals involved, all in the name of human entertainment. We'll have Peter Fricker on the show. He's the communications director of the Vancouver Humane Society, and he'll be speaking with us about VHS's current campaign to stop the most cruel rodeo events at the upcoming Chilliwack Fair this summer. Then we'll be featuring an activist profile with Zoe Rosenberg, who lives on the central coast of California, where she runs the Happy Hen Animal Sanctuary, a place of residence for 150 animals who have all come from the animal exploitation industry where they would have faced certain death. Zoe was one of the rescuers at the Mass Open Rescue that we participated in Petaluma, California just 2 weeks ago. 37 chickens were rescued from an egg factory farm holding over 1 million suffering animals. These were very lucky chickens, and they are now living the rest of their lives in peace at the Happy Hen Sanctuary, and we'll be learning more about their story from Zoe, and we'll find out how they are doing now. Also, Zoe just turned 16 this week, and that is something to celebrate, as she has achieved so much already in her quest for animal liberation in the past 5 years. This interview is coming up in 27 minutes, so please do stay tuned. Now, this past week has been very eventful for Vancouver in the animal rights movement, and Carol, you would like to talk about an event that we attended last night here in Vancouver.
Another lady that's done an awful lot for animals is Ingrid Newkirk, who's the president of People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, or what we call PETA. She gave a talk last night to approximately 250 supporters and spoke a lot about how animals, we're all animals, was the name of her talk. She, first of all, she went through a bunch of achievements of PETA and some really interesting information about how the pressure that they have put on the auto industry means that some car manufacturers are making vegan leather in cars now, that the expose videos that they've done with lambs being violently sheared and goats crying out like babies have made a move to vegan wool. And I'll tell you, I'm a spinner, and I used to spin real wool, but now I spin not real wool, and it's a little more challenging. So, you know, if there
that's acrylic wool, right?
It's not acrylic. It's made from natural fibers, a lot of it, and like even cotton. But it's a lot more difficult to spin than other natural wools sometimes. But it's a good challenge for spinners out there. She also talked about how they'd convinced a lot of Gucci, Michael Kors, Galliano, Donna Karan to now be completely fur-free, which is something that they had pushed back on.
And we would just never have thought that would ever happen, because she mentioned, like they always said, we will never go fur-free.
Exactly.
And this shows you how the tides change with time, right?
Yeah, and it shows you that you still have to keep pushing. You still have to keep vocal. You still have to keep honest.
And that activism works.
That's right. The interesting thing that she came up with for me was she talked about the history of taxonomy and how scientists over the years have gone through to illustrate, you know, what the value of different lives are, and how that value is based on cultural norms and human interpretation of what's valuable, and not on any real scientific proof. And she talked about how sexism, racism, and speciesism is all based on the same non-scientific, what she called, rubbish. And that really spoke to me, because I think, you know, speciesism seems like a radical idea, but it's not. It's everywhere. It's
Melanie Joy
calls carnism too, and we don't even know. Yeah. People don't even realize it's there. But she talked about how we have to call out those injustices and call out the prejudice that we have against other animals. She cited the child in The Emperor's New Clothes story who told the truth, was the only one to tell the truth, that the emperor was actually naked, and that we need to go forth and talk about how these things are happening and be truthful and speak our truth, really.
I found it to be a really inspirational talk, and what I really liked was the part where Ingrid was going through all these examples of how much and how all different kinds of animals in the world, from this tiny little spider that she showed a close-up photo of, who right. had the most beautiful eyelashes.
Brown
and
eyes.
And she said, don't you think that she enjoys life and that she feels and that she deserves to live? And that's really what it comes
exactly.
down to, I think, is once you start appreciating all life and you have a respect for all life, down to the tiniest little bugs, like the ants in my bathroom, who I love and nurture and let out as often as I can. And anyways, it's just because I have respect for life. And once you're coming from a place like that, you know, you can't exploit animals on a larger scale.
And it's true.
That includes what you pay for every day with your meals and your clothes and your entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny. She found it ironic, not funny, ha-ha, but funny, creepy, as Ingrid said, that we were right next to the Vancouver Aquarium right there,
that's right.
which is one of their biggest campaigns. And one of the biggest campaigns with activists here in Vancouver is to get
that's right.
their animal exploitation
so,
shut down.
You know, all in all, it was great to be in a room full of PETA fans and to hear what she had to say. She's worked really hard for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was another animal rights event last weekend, one that I also missed. But you were both there at the march to close all slaughterhouses downtown last Saturday. So, Allison, how did that go?
I thought it was great. It was the third annual March to Close All Slaughterhouses in Vancouver. I think we had about the same number of people as last year, about 400 people.
So. Wow.
It was a huge turnout. I mean, we really took over the streets of Vancouver, downtown Vancouver. We did a big march, and there I did a live stream on it on our Animal Voices Vancouver Facebook if you want to watch some of it. And it was a great time to speak up for the animals and to show the city of Vancouver and people worldwide who can watch it online that we want animal liberation and we want it now.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the chants, and it was great just to see the turnout there and so many people who I didn't know. So that was wonderful, because I just feel like the community is really growing.
New people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to the Vancouver Police Department for that too, because they had several, I think it probably was 12 motorcycle police that were escorting us and blocking up the streets for us when we came to the major.
To keep it safe, for sure.
To keep it safe.
And I want to give a shout out to Liberation BC for organizing this amazing event, and I look forward to doing the event next year, and hopefully we'll get even more people out next year.
Commercial station bringing you voices and stories and perspectives you probably won't hear elsewhere. We are supported by members and by donations. You can become a member by going to our website at www.coopradio.org. If you like what you hear but don't want to be a member, that's cool too. You can still help by clicking on the donate arrow at the top right of the website. Co-op Radio thanks you for listening and for helping build our community of listeners and programmers.
You know I need your love. You got that hold over me. As long as I got your love, you know that.
And now for some events. Tomorrow, Saturday, June 16th, is the grand opening of the Rolling Cashew Vegan Food Truck. More vegan food in Vancouver, hooray! So they've been actually open for a couple months already, so you might have tried some of their food, but they've finally gotten a chance to do a proper grand opening. So you're all welcome to join the celebration tomorrow at 417 Industrial Avenue. That's just by Main and Terminal there. They'll be serving beer and vegan pastries and all sorts of food. And yeah, so that's tomorrow from 10 to 6 p.m. at 417 Industrial Avenue. Rolling Cashew, keep an eye out for them. Another event this Monday is the June Vegan Drinks Meetup. Join for drinks and food at Vancouver's largest vegetarian bar, the Black Lodge on Main Street. Poutine, veggie dogs, hot dog and poutine combined, and no tortured animals involved. It can be done. But in addition to the food, there's lots of great people who show up. So this event is open to anyone 19 or older. No cover or fees. Swing by and just get to know like-minded individuals over beers. So that's the Black Lodge on Main Street, just by... on Broadway, just off Main Street. Sorry about that. On Sunday, June the 24th, TV Outreach for Animals will be screening modern farm and slaughterhouse footage on two screens outside the Vancouver Art Gallery to raise awareness of the horrific experiences of farmed animals. If you'd like to get involved, you're welcome to join and hold a sign or talk to bystanders and help hand out leaflets and share information. And you may have seen some of these folks set up at other stations, train stations or intersections before, with the big screens screening slaughterhouse footage. And I've heard some people say before, why are they trying to make people feel guilty instead of working with government to improve conditions for the animals? Why just make people feel guilty? Well, yeah. If you're feeling guilty when you see footage of where your food comes from, then there's a problem, right?
It starts with the consumer.
Yes, exactly. So the horrific stuff you're seeing in those videos only keeps happening because consumers, just like most of the people walking by, keep funding it with their food choices. So money's the bottom line for the businesses, and the only way we're going to see real change for animals is if we vote with our dollars, right? So choosing plant-based options instead and rejecting the practice of treating animals as products and property. So again, the next TV Outreach for Animals is taking place Sunday, June 24th at the Vancouver Art Gallery from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And on July 1st, What Gives? DogWab 4. July 1st will mark the one-year anniversary of DogWab, which stands for Day of Giving Within Arbitrary Borders. It started as a response to Context Avoid Canada Day 150 celebrations that ignore marginalized groups and reinforce oppression, colonialism, and many other stigmatized phobias and judgment-based harms inflicted on our fellow sentients. So, Allison, can you tell us a little bit more about what happens at DogWab and what they need?
Yeah, so what it comes down to, it's a bunch of us friendly, caring vegans who, you know, we want to make the world a better place, and that includes all beings on the earth, including humans, who don't have a place to sleep every night, who don't have adequate food, who don't have adequate personal items that they need just for personal hygiene. So what we do is we collect a whole bunch of different donations, personal toiletry items and things like that, and we make a whole whack of vegan food. We're doing at least 300 servings this time, and it's all at a commercial kitchen. If you want to help out, I'm going to post the Facebook page, the Facebook event, on our Facebook page today, just right after this little chat here, and you can check that out at Animal Voices Vancouver.
Excellent. So if you have any animal-related events you'd like us to share on the show, you can find us on Facebook, Animal Voices Vancouver, or send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com.
Thank you for the events. For our first interview today, we have Peter Fricker on the show. He is the communications director of the Vancouver Humane Society, which is a local registered charity dedicated to the humane treatment of animals and encourages individuals, organizations, and governments to take responsibility for the welfare and rights of domestic animals. and wildlife influenced by human activities. In the spirit, it's once again rodeo season, and Peter is here with us today to speak about the realities of the rodeo and VHS's current campaign to have the cruelest rodeo event stopped at the upcoming Chilliwack Fair. Hi, Peter. Welcome back to the Animal Voices show.
Hi, Allison. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being on the show today to bring back to the spotlight the issues of the rodeo. This is a topic we've been reporting on for years, and I know that the Vancouver Humane Society has also been active to end rodeo events for years. This time you are campaigning against the Chilliwack Fair's upcoming rodeo from August 10th to 12th and are asking for the end of the most cruel events there, which are the calf roping, steer wrestling, and team roping events. Can you tell us a bit about these particular rodeo events and how they affect the animals?
Sure. In terms of calf roping, that involves chasing a calf, some as young as 3 months old, across the arena, roping them to a sudden halt, picking them up, slamming them to the ground, and tying them up. In steer wrestling, that involves a rider jumping off his horse onto the neck of a steer, grabbing it by the horns, and then literally twisting its neck until it falls to the ground. With team roping, that involves two riders chasing a steer. One lassos the animal by the head, and the other lassos it by the hind legs. And in many cases, what happens is the animal is literally stretched until it has all four legs off the ground. And, of course, what's common to all these events is that they subject the animal to fear, pain, and stress. And it's clearly inhumane, and that's why we're against it.
Carol here has a question for you, Peter.
Sure.
Hi, Peter. I'm wondering, this year you're targeting the major sponsors of the Chilliwack Fair. Can you tell us, how did you come to this approach? Is it something that you have seen other organizations do? How would you expect it to work?
We've had success in previous rodeo campaigns by targeting sponsors because the whole point of sponsorship is to associate your business with something that's popular and successful and non-controversial. And so we try to bring to the attention of these sponsors that a lot of people are opposed to rodeo, that it is controversial, and that it's something that they shouldn't support on moral grounds, but also it's not going to be good for their business to be associated with something that so many people are opposed to. So we're trying the same tactics in the case of Chilliwack.
Oh, and do you expect to get feedback from the sponsors, or what do you expect to happen from it?
Well, we've had an email campaign running through our website, and about 2,000 people have emailed the sponsors that we've named. They haven't responded directly to us. So it's going to take time before this campaign takes an effect. We're very persistent, and we're going to carry on for years, and we're going to make it clear to these sponsors that we're not going away. So we think that, given enough time, we will have an impact and hopefully be successful.
Great.
Hi, Peter. Sinead here. In the past, you've put pressure on other major rodeos, such as the Calgary Stampede and the Cloverdale Rodeo here locally. Can you tell us about any achievements that have been made with targeting these other rodeos in Canada?
Sure. We had a campaign a few years ago against the Luxton Rodeo, which is just outside Victoria on the island, and in 2015, they finally gave up, and after that campaign, which we ran with a local group called Victoria Citizens Against Rodeo Events, and as I mentioned, we targeted sponsors in that case, and in 2015, they canceled the rodeo, and it hasn't reemerged. The same thing happened with our campaign against the Abbotsford Agri-Fair Rodeo in 2016. They gave up after that campaign and canceled the rodeo. And of course, with Cloverdale, back in 2007, after years of campaigning, they agreed to drop four key events, including calf roping, steer wrestling, and team roping. So they're basically down to half a rodeo. So we have had definite successes locally. With the Calgary Stampede, they're obviously a much harder target, but we did force them to make a number of safety changes regarding the events and the chuck wagon races there. We're not happy with those changes. We think, you know, largely it's pretty minor and just window dressing, but we know that they are vulnerable to public pressure, and we think it's probably a matter of time before something, you know, more deaths happen at that rodeo, and they come under increased pressure again.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, are you working with any humane societies in Alberta to campaign against the Calgary Stampede?
Unfortunately, the Calgary Humane Society doesn't want to take an advocacy approach on this issue. They are, as far as we can tell from the information on their website, opposed to some of these events, but they're not willing to speak up and take an advocacy role and openly criticize the Stampede, which is unfortunate.
Peter, so I know you've been working on these issues for years as Vancouver Humane Society. I'm wondering, do you see the tide changing with regards to how the public supports or doesn't support the rodeo? You say that most BC residents oppose rodeo, as do virtually all major animal welfare organizations. So what do you think we can expect in future years to come with respect to how citizens choose to use their money and recreational time? I just think, you know, tradition is something that is so ingrained into our society. I know it's in some areas of Canada and North America, it is quite a large part of the culture to attend rodeos. I don't really understand it, but do you think the rodeo will end, or at least the most cruel events, do you think that will come sooner than later?
Well, we do know from polls done back in 2015 that 66% of BC residents are opposed to rodeos, and across Canada, 63% of Canadians are opposed to rodeos. So there's already a fairly substantial majority of people that are opposed to rodeos. But there is, as you say, there's hardcore support, certainly in some rural areas and certain small towns where it's been a part of their culture for a long time. And it's going to be difficult to get those places to turn against rodeo. But certainly in urban areas and in the lower mainland, we see changes happening. The rodeos that we targeted that I mentioned are all gone, and we're hoping that once Chilliwack's gone, we'll be a virtual rodeo-free zone in the lower mainland, with the exception of that half a rodeo still taking place in Cloverdale. So there are certainly good signs locally, and there's good signs in urban areas, but we're very aware that we need to keep fighting because these things keep creeping back. We know that that bull riding has been been taken out of rodeo and made a successful event with the PBR organization, and that they've tried very hard to make it popular in urban areas, and we realize that that's something we're going to have to target as well. So it's you know, it's difficult to say how long this is going to take, but we're certainly committed to a multi-year campaigning and trying to get rodeo completely gone from the lower mainland, and we're going to work on the other areas as well, including the Calgary Stampede.
So right now, what can you advise our listeners to do who want to show that they want the end of these cruel rodeo events as well?
Well, they can certainly go to our website, and they'll see information on what they can do to engage with these sponsors for the Chilliwack Rodeo. We would advise that they contact the Chilliwack Fair directly, and also the Chilliwack City Council and the mayor's office there, because all that kind of pressure does build up over time, and we know that with the successes we've had before, that it's a matter of reaching a tipping point, and then some of these sponsors and local organizations will cave.
So it's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It is going to happen.
Definitely.
Right. Thank you so much, Peter, for coming on the show today to tell us about the Vancouver Humane Society's latest campaign against the rodeo. If you want to help, you can find their petition on their website, vancouverhumanesociety.bc.ca. It's also on our website, animalvoices.org, but VHS's website also has quite a lot of information about the rodeo, and I encourage you to go there. Thank you, Peter. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
You're listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM, CFRO, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And now some good news. The new mayor, well, relatively new mayor of Montreal, campaigned on getting rid of the calèche horse industry, and she has brought forth a measure to the city's executive committee this week to vote on getting rid of these by December 31st, 2019. A calèche is a carriage drawn by one horse, and they're in Old Montreal. There's a lot of them, and the horses get very hot, very tired, and very sick, and afraid of the traffic. It's a horrible thing for the horses to have to go through.
And we have them here in Victoria as well. And it was just in the news a few weeks ago that the SPCA wants to put an end to that. So it's happening.
So it's happening in Montreal, and they've handed out 24 permits for this year. And what they're doing is they're easing out of it. They're saying, okay, we're giving them until the end of 2019 for those people to find other jobs. So they're trying to make it a smooth transition for the humans involved as well. But this has been going on for, I think, about 150 years in Montreal, and the SPCA has been against it for that long. So yay, we're getting somewhere.
Well, slavery of humans was very long time happening, and that was abolished. So
that's
the slavery of horses will be over again, over as well soon.
So that's the good news. Here's some bad news. Canada is still testing on animals for cosmetics. Okay, so to me, this doesn't make any sense. Something that you're putting on your lips or your eyes or your face or whatever, to why would you take a bunny or a rat or a dog or a cat and force them into the torture position of having this horrible chemicals put on them and burnt and put in their eyes and all kinds of things. So there's a new video out that's exposing this animal testing and how it's done. And it's done by the Animal Alliance of Canada and the Humane Society International. And there is a bill before the Senate right now. It's going into its third reading. It's Bill S-214, the Cruelty-Free Cosmetics Act. So it's time that Canada joined the rest of the free world and started to make this stuff illegal. The bill is similar to the European Union legislation, which ends cruel and obsolete practice of cosmetic animal testing, and it also ensures that Canada does not become a safe harbor for newly animal tested beauty products and ingredients that are being outlawed by an ever-growing number of countries. So we're hoping this isn't even for medical reasons. I mean, this is just disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absurd. I think most Canadians would agree that that nobody wants rabbits to be tortured for cosmetics, it's absurd. It's a pretty strong lobby. You can actually go to animalvoices.org, go to our website and search lab animals, and you can listen to previous podcasts where we've had people on who described the lobby of the vivisection lobby, and it's big business continuing to test on animals. So that's why it's still there. So it's great that people are finally waking up to that. Another piece of more positive news again. We had an encouraging statement from the CEO of PayPal, of all people, this week, saying that quote-unquote dead cow wallets are to be obsolete by 2028. Younger generations are putting a dent in the leather industry by choosing fashion accessories free of animal products. According to a recent report by Bloomberg, consumers are increasingly seeking out animal-free apparel such as footwear and wallets, a trend that's putting the $90 billion leather industry in jeopardy. So Bloomberg stated that while the shift partly reflects an abundance of choices in materials, consumers cite growing discomfort with the slaughter of cattle and concern over the environmental impact of raising them by the millions. So in 2016, the sales of leather shoes plummeted by 12%, and experts predict the downward trend for leather will continue. And research has market research firm Grandview Research recently predicted that the global vegan leather industry will continue to grow to be worth over 85 billion by 2025. So that's great.
Wow.
And if you want to learn more about leather and vegan leather, go to liberationbc.org and search for leather. They've got a great page answering all your questions.
Very interesting. Thanks for the news, Sinead and Carol.
On the last day of the Animal Liberation Conference, over 500 activists stormed a factory farm to expose the truth of what happens behind closed doors. And as we were inside of the facility, we found two dead bodies, including the dead body of this hen here named Rose. We were too late to save Rose, but we removed her dead body so that we could show the world that she deserved better. And today, we're going to give her the funeral that she deserves, and that all animals who have died at the hands of animal exploitation deserve. Because they are more than just ghosts in the industry's machine. They are individuals. And although Rose may be gone, we were able to rescue 36 of her sisters. And now they're living happy lives. We are fighting for a world where we can take everyone out alive and bring them to sanctuary.
For our feature interview today, we have Zoe Rosenberg on the show, an animal activist from California who just turned 16 this week. When Zoe was only 11 years old in 2014, she founded the Happy Hen Animal Sanctuary, which has since rescued over 700 animals from certain death. Zoe is also an organizer and social media coordinator for the grassroots animal liberation network, Direct Action Everywhere. She travels around the world speaking on behalf of animal rights in hopes of inspiring people to get outside of their comfort zones and into activism. She also did a TEDx talk this February that has reached 43,000 viewers so far. Zoe was one of the rescuers in the recent mass open rescue at an egg farm in Petaluma, California, 2 weeks ago. And in today's interview, she will speak about that experience and how the chickens are doing now as they are new residents at her sanctuary. Hi, Zoe. Welcome to the Animal Voices show.
Hi, so happy to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today, and a big happy birthday to you. It's incredible to be speaking with such a young activist who has already achieved so much in their life. I wonder if you could start with your story at 11 years old when you discovered what is happening to animals in our world and how that motivated you to act on behalf of animals.
Yeah, so when I was 11 years old, I really fell in love with chickens, and I realized what beautiful individuals they are and how they're really no different in any way that matters than all of the dogs and the cats that so many of us love in our own homes. And when I realized this, my entire view on the world changed. And when I heard about all of the chickens suffering in farms, everything just seemed so clear to me that, you know, there are thousands of chickens dying every second. Chickens just like the animals we love in our own homes, and no one is doing or saying anything. And so I just totally changed everything I was doing. I went vegan, of course, and I, you know, really, really, really wanted to do something because I've never felt like veganism was enough. You know, I've always felt the need to be active and do something more to actually stop the violence. And so when I heard about NSW Hen Rescue in North South Wales, Australia, I knew I wanted to do something like that here. And what they do is they go inside of factory farms and they take hens out and then they find them loving forever homes. And I was so inspired and I began emailing them back and forth. And I asked my mom if we could start a chicken rescue. She said yes. And now it's turned into a farm animal sanctuary and we've saved over 700 lives.
That's just so amazing. I wonder if you can tell us more about the Happy Hen Animal Sanctuary. How many residents do you have now? And can you tell us about some of their rescue stories? And yeah, you have a lot of chickens, but you also have a few other animals as well.
Yes. So we have 150 residents at Happy Hen Animal Sanctuary currently. We've got about 100 chickens. We've got 2 cows, 4 pigs. We've got 5 dogs, 4 cats, 2 sheep, 1 goat, 1 turkey, 4 ducks. We just got a turtle yesterday. We've got 2 quail. So we've got all different kinds of animals, and almost every single one of them is from the food industry or another really abusive situation.
Maybe we can talk about dairy. I know you have Rosa the dairy cow, for example.
Yeah, so we've got two cows at Happy Hen, both from the dairy industry, so Rosa and Buddha. And they were both obviously taken from their mothers the day that they were born. And I remember when, you know, they were both babies when they arrived, and they would suckle on our fingers just desperate for their moms. You know, they had never really known their mother's touch, and they needed it so badly. So we literally slept in the barn with them for months so that they could feel like they had a mom, even though, you know, we could never give them their mother back. And it was really hard. They would cry and cry. And it's just so traumatic what they went through. And both of them were extremely ill. You know, Rosa had pneumonia, and she was just left to die in a crate. And Buddha, you know, he was also extremely sick. He had horrible diarrhea. There was a long time we didn't think he was going to make it. And he was just so weak and so thin. And he was going to be shot in the head and killed because he was born a boy. So they didn't even care that he was sick. You know, neither of them got the colostrum from their mothers, which is a nutrient that they can only get the first 2 days. So they both had extremely weak immune systems for the first couple months of their life. And this is just so common, and it happens to just about every single dairy cow, except most of them don't get rescued like Rosa and Buddha were.
I hope that people listening to this will think twice before they consume dairy again, because clearly cow's milk is made for baby cows, and it's the calves who suffer when we humans consume their milk. So both you and I were participants in the mass open rescue that occurred just 2 weeks ago at an egg farm holding over 1 million chickens in Petaluma, California. It was a big day. The whole event was broadcast live on Direct Action Everywhere's Facebook page and has received 243,000 views to date. You were one of the rescuers who went onto the property to rescue 37 chickens. Can you describe for us what you saw and experienced inside this factory farm?
Yeah, so the conditions inside of this farm were absolutely deplorable. You know, there were dozens of chickens in every single crate, just crowded, feet on wire, and, you know, they could barely turn around, and they were all terrified. As we were walking through the barns, they just seemed like they expected us to kill them. They had clearly never known any compassion from any humans. And when we would take them out of the cage, you know, they would all hide in the corner because they thought we were going to kill them, because that's how they were raised. They were raised to associate humans with harm. It was absolutely toxic. The air was just, you know, horrid. I know a lot of people were coughing a lot after entering the facility, and even people who didn't enter the actual barns were feeling really sick during this action. But these animals had to have to live there their entire lives. And even some of the chickens we rescued who didn't look extremely sick, you know, they've been sneezing and having a lot of respiratory distress simply from this air that they had to bear for so many months and even years. And when we carried all these chickens out, it was one of the most beautiful things that I've, you know, ever witnessed, seeing all these people exit such a violent facility with these animals, bringing them into the light, because these animals had never even seen the sky before. They got to see the sky. They, you know, are finally, you know, at sanctuary, getting the love and care that they deserve. And most of them are doing really well now. But I always think about the conditions and the abuse that they faced, and how that trauma that emotional trauma can never be healed completely. And we can't, although we may be able to heal a lot of their physical wounds, we can never, you know, heal all of that emotional trauma that they've faced at the hands of humans while they were at this facility.
I have to say that seeing you and the other rescuers pass by me was one of the most touching times of my life. So thank you, Zoe.
Thank you. Yeah, it was absolutely such an emotional day. And I hope that someday, you know, we'll have thousands of activists entering these farms, and we can leave with every last chicken, because it breaks my heart to think of everyone we left behind. And I know that, you know, with amazing activists like you, we can eventually do that and save every last animal.
So I've seen some videos of these chickens just sort of on social media on how they're doing now. And just one of the best videos I ever saw was the chickens are learning how to dust bathe. I grew up with chickens myself, and I know that that is one of their greatest joys in life, to be a chicken. It's an instinctual nature to dust bathe. I wonder if you can speak about that and just how they are enjoying their freedom these days.
Yeah, so before they came to the sanctuary, they had never had access to dirt. You know, they had spent their lives on wire. And as soon as they felt the dirt beneath their feet, they instinctually just began to dust bathe and dig and sunbathe and do all of these things that are so natural and so important to these animals. And they're just so happy. It's just, you know, I can't go up there without smiling seeing them today. It was amazing to see them learning how to dust bathe, because at first they didn't really know how. They had never, you know, they had never done anything like that before. So they're a little lost, and they kept kind of trying to get back into the barn, a lot of them, as soon as we let them out, because they were scared. They had never even seen this guy before. And, you know, we've had a lot of chickens who they'll come to the sanctuary, and even if like a little songbird flies above them, they get super startled and run and hide, because everything is just so new to them. And there's always a couple in every group who are really courageous and kind of do everything first and start dust bathing first. And then everyone else sees them doing it and they start doing it too. So, you know, we've had a lot of that. We have a little girl named May who's one of the hens. And she's the one in the video who's learning how to dust bathe. And she was just having such a good time. And it was just amazing to watch her. And she was really confused at first. You could kind of see in her face, you know, she's not really sure what she's doing. She didn't even pick like a great spot. She didn't know like where a good dust bathing spot was. And, you know, she was just kind of trying to figure it all out. But every single day they're becoming more and more like normal chickens as they're learning the ropes of how to live and, you know, be happy and free.
Well, as you said before, you live with 150 animals. They've all come from places of great suffering. No one wants animals to suffer, yet most people support animal suffering every day by what they buy and what they eat. What would you like to say to people about the systems of animal exploitation in our world today and the urgency of animal rights?
Yeah, so right now we're living in a society that is basically run by a system that tells everybody that it is okay and it is normal to eat animals and to eat animal products. It is normalized from the day we are born. You know, we have animals' flesh put on our plates. We have animals' breast milk put on our plates and animals' eggs put on our plates. You know, we wear animal skin. We put on makeup that has been tested on innocent animals. And we never even think about it because it's hidden from us. And anybody who tries to disrupt this system of exploitation is punished by society and punished by the government, because nobody wants this to change, because this system, you know, is a great source of profit, financial profit. And, you know, as long as greed exists and we prioritize money over these animals, there will be violence. And that's why it's so important that we all stop eating animals and go vegan, but not just go vegan, but also start speaking up, because these animals need our voices. And like you said, this is urgent. You know, there are 3,000 animals who are killed every single second, and our silence betrays them. You know, as long as we continue on with our lives and act like everything is normal, things are going to stay the way they are, because what's happening right now is going to remain the norm. It's going to remain normal. So we need to create a new normal. We need to create a norm of compassion and kindness towards all beings, regardless of species, so that someday, you know, these animals aren't going through this and they're all living safe, happy, and free lives, and the entire world is a sanctuary.
Exactly. And what would you say to people who say, but it's just a chicken?
You know, I think the people who say that are people who've never met a chicken. As soon as you meet a chicken, you just realize that their lives are just as valuable as you and I. Like, they're so clearly unique individuals with personalities. Each and every one of them is so different. They enjoy different things. They have different favorite foods. And to say that because they're a chicken, their life is worth less is just so speciesist and wrong, and we need to really shift this norm. And that's why I love to bring people to Happy Hen and allow people to connect with chickens as individuals, because I think even within the animal rights community, there is a lot of speciesism, because it is harder to connect with birds. But once you really just sit down one-on-one with a chicken, just spend like 10 minutes sitting with one chicken, look them in the eyes, give them treats, and you'll connect with them, and you'll realize that they are individuals.
Exactly. So you've had a very dynamic and eventful life of activism in the past 5 years so far, only being 16 years old as of this week. We've talked about the mass open rescue from just 2 weeks ago. Can you share with us another highlight from your activism life and how you feel it has made change for the animals?
Yeah, so another thing I did recently was I chained myself to a slaughterhouse chute at Cal Poly, at the Cal Poly University campus. So they actually have a slaughterhouse on site where they teach students how to slaughter animals as a part of the meat processing class. And so a few weeks before I chained myself to the chute, there was a pig who was being slaughtered. And I went to the slaughterhouse that day as well, and I jumped into the chute, and I sat with her in this pen for about 30 minutes, and I just, you know, gave her love and just showed her kindness for the first time in her life. And she would play with my shoes, she nudged at me, and she was just so sweet and so trusting after just a couple minutes of me being in there. She's so desperate for attention. And after 30 minutes, the police did make me leave, and they threatened to arrest me if I did not. So I did leave that day. But when I was thinking, when I got home about what Dana, we named her Dana, what I was thinking about what she faced because I left, I just felt so guilty and heartbroken. And so when I knew that there was going to be a cow slaughtered 2 weeks later, I wanted to do this cow justice. And so I named this cow Justice. And I went and I chained myself to the slaughterhouse chute. And this time I refused to leave. And I told them I would leave if they released her to a sanctuary. But if they did not, you know, I was going to stay there until they arrested me. And after about 2 hours, they did cut the chain and I was arrested. They did cancel the slaughter class that day. So she wasn't slaughtered that day. But we suspect that she was slaughtered at the class the next day.
I really just hope, though, that that raised the issue within society and within the public online, and that, you know, I think this all just gets a dialogue started. And
yes.
And I mean, especially because you are such a young individual as well, I hope people can take inspiration in that. So our first interview on today's show is about a campaign against a local rodeo here near Vancouver. You participated in some anti-rodeo activism a few weeks ago. Can you tell us about that and any progress that you think was made that day?
Yeah, so the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo here just occurred, and it's a huge rodeo that happens every single year. It's 4 days long, bring huge truckloads of cows in. You can just see, you know, these big trailers with like several levels. And the entire town comes out for this event, and it's really, really ingrained in that town's culture. And so when we do protest, we get a lot of pushback from people. A lot of people feel like we're threatening their tradition of torturing animals, but they don't see it that way, of course. And so, you know, we get a lot of hate. A lot of people, you know, flip us off, yell at us, you know, drive really fast and skid. So like dirt flies up in our faces. But of course, we are making an impact, because there are people who are going to the rodeo who are just going because their friend asked them to, who are just going because they want to hang out with their friends for some reason that's not really, you know, they don't really care that much about the rodeo. And when they see us out there, you know, they know that it's wrong, and they really put it together. And we see this every time we protest rodeos. We've had people who go inside and then come back out and say, you know, I saw your protest. I didn't know what you were saying. And then I went inside and I saw what was happening. And now I get it, because this is just so horrible. And we actually had a woman at the last rodeo protest we did who yelled out the window, "You guys are right. This will be my last rodeo." So I think we definitely can change hearts and minds through these protests and show people that this is wrong. And, you know, you can take a stand and not go to the rodeo, and it's okay, because there are other people who also see that it's wrong.
That's amazing. I wonder if you can talk about what it is that makes you, as a 16-year-old individual, different from other young people in our society who aren't driven to fight for social justice issues. What propels your drive as a young person, Zoe?
I think because I have been privileged to get to know these animals and really connect with them, I've just kind of realized that I have to do this. And I don't think that I could not and, you know, be happy and be, you know, happy of who I am. You know, I've seen these animals go through such horrible trauma and experiences, and I've seen them come to sanctuary and transform and become the people who they were always meant to be. And just watching that transformation over and over again, it changes you. And it makes you realize that you have a moral responsibility to fight for the world the animals deserve to live in. You know, I've held the bodies of broken animals in my arms as they've died because of the abuse that they've faced. Every time an animal dies, I make a promise. I promise them that I will never stop fighting, and I will speak up until the day I die. And I think a huge part of the reason why so many young people aren't speaking up and they aren't taking action is because they're afraid. They're afraid of what people are going to say. They're afraid that they're going to lose their friends and family. But I think we all just need to step outside of ourselves and see the reality of the world, see what's happening. Because as soon as we really, truly understand, and it's more than just watching videos, it's really, truly understanding on a deep level that there are animals who are suffering in, you know, right now, and that suffering is real. It's happening. And once you accept that, and once you really see it, you can't remain silent. You just can't.
Great answer. I know you are very engaged and very direct and bold in activism, and I think that's great. And you've committed acts of civil disobedience. I mean, you jumped in the chute of the slaughterhouse, and I've seen you be arrested at Dodger Stadium on the yeah. playing field there. And you had the courage to go into that factory farm 2 weeks ago when I was there, and you didn't exactly know what you were going to see. You didn't exactly know what was going to happen. There was a lot of anxiety that day, even on my part, and I wasn't even on the farm property. I would love you to speak about getting out of your comfort zone, because obviously a lot of people find reassurance by just living within the status quo, living within the guidelines that our society dictates to follow, and doing what everyone else is doing, not challenging our systems. So I think the first step is like, how do you find your voice for the animals when it really is stepping out of your comfort zone? I'm wondering, like, were you always this way, or has this just been a process for you as well to keep jumping out of your comfort zone to a point where you can do way more acts of boldness that regular people can? What is your advice for people to get out of their comfort zone to act for animals?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wasn't always this way. I mean, there was a time I never could have imagined getting arrested. And I, like everyone else, I associated getting arrested with, you know, being a criminal and doing something horrible. And I used to be really scared to speak up. I used to be, you know, I remember my first protest, I was so nervous. It took me like 10 minutes to just kind of loosen up and be like, okay, I can stand here and hold a sign. It's fine. It's definitely scary. I remember I was just like shaking before I jumped onto the Dodgers baseball field. But and it's terrifying. And I think, you know, it's never going to be completely easy. You know, it's always going to be kind of scary. But we have to be willing to do it anyways. We have to be willing to make sacrifices and, again, get out of our comfort zones. And I think the key to creating change is going outside of our comfort zones. That's what all social justice movements throughout history have had to do, you know, all these activists throughout history have been arrested for doing acts of civil disobedience and doing really terrifying things, but they changed the world that way. And I think we just really need to think less about ourselves and more about others, because I've found that when I'm about to do something really outside of my comfort zone, if I'm thinking a lot about myself, it makes it a lot harder. But if I really just, you know, put things into perspective and think about the animals and why it is that I'm doing this, why it is that we need to do this, then suddenly it's so much easier.
Well, thank you so much, Zoe, for all the work that you do for animal liberation and for being an inspiration for what can be achieved at such a young age. You can find out more about the Happy Hen Animal Sanctuary at happyhen.org, and please help with the fundraiser for the 36 hens rescued at the Mass Open Rescue 2 weeks ago, which you can find on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and on our website, animalvoices.org. You can also find Zoe's TEDx talk at both of these locations and on YouTube. Thank you again, Zoe, for all the work you are doing. Enjoy your time with the chickens today. I've been hearing them in the background throughout the whole interview, which is great. And thank you so much for everything you're doing. Hope to see you next year at the Animal Liberation Conference.
Yes, thank you so much, and I hope to see you as well.
You've been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM, CFRO, Co-op Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Please tune in to the show next week on June 22nd, where Jen Dobell is going to interview Deborah Holland, who's a new vegan, about her take on the film Earthlings. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. You can go to animalvoices.org for show podcasts, to read our blog with detailed links, and subscribe to iTunes. Also, connect with us on Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. We welcome your suggestions and comments. To end the show today, we have a song called Liberation Song. The lyrics and music were composed by Ernesto Melchor, and it's sung here by a group of activists in Utah last year in an egg factory farm.
Yeah, and the reason why I chose this song is because this is a song that we 500 activists sang at Petaluma, California at the egg factory farm 2 weeks ago, which was just the topic of conversation with Zoe. She was one of the rescuers, and this is one of the songs that sort of got us through the day.
Stay tuned for Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith, and thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today. Remember, be kind to animals.
Something about it. You say I'm different, so you treat me less than. But you are so wrong about me. Yes, you are so wrong about me. 'Cause I'm like you, I feel pain, love too. I'm you but in a different body. Life inside my body. Let me be free. Freedom from your tyranny. It's all I've ever wanted. It's all I've ever wanted. Liberation. Try to convince you that humane murder is justified, but believe me.
Happy, safe, and free every day.